When HUD lost $59 billion, the quote-unquote federal employee who was producing the software system that did that had been paid $206 million. It was a federal contractor whose name was AMS. It had been paid $206 million to produce a system that didn't work, mysteriously lost $59 billion, or it's missing. They didn't ask for the $206 million back, and AMS was not fired. I have very rarely worked with or known a federal employee that I didn't like. I assure you our federal government is not being run by the federal employees, who are generally a fairly productive workforce when they are protected from politics by proper management. Our federal government is being drained by contractors, Lockheed, Defense, et cetera. So I'm not sure if I understand your question, but remember what we want to do by making the Dow Jones and the Popsicle Index go up is make sure that every one of us who wants a job and to be able to support each other is in the circle, and we're helping to re-engineer things so that federal employees are unleashed to do their job and are honored for what they're doing.
Backed by gold, it's being backed by goods and services. Do you have any perspective of where the direction
is? It's not being backed by goods and services. It's being backed by a military and intelligence capability that has the ability to steal and has the ability to force someone to take dollars. One of the reasons we're going to Iraq is to make sure that Middle Eastern oil is traded in dollars. This is a currency war, ladies and gentlemen. And so the value of our dollar is held up by our ability to kill and steal worldwide and in our own neighborhoods.
But also, I mean, when you said that one of the reasons we're going to war, we're not necessarily going to war. It's not inevitable.
So they're going to tell me.
You know, and by the power of this group also, too, we can really... You know, on every kind of literal way and every kind of magical way, let us really right now imagine a safety net over the Iraqi people, part of ourselves and part of our collective soul, and all the creatures that live in Iraq. There's a safety net there that will deflect this, and let's animate that as well. Again, it's vision and action wedded together, so nothing is inevitable. This person
they're
right
directing.
Where does my town get that software that Mr. Brooklynville got?
That's right. You can just hold it to your head and it'll work.
Just about the only thing left. We have boxes and boxes. My attorneys control them. I have to beg for them and get them 100 at a time. The brochures that we made. We have a volunteer forum which is trying to build the checklists that you would need to collect the data and build your own community wizard software in your own community. Remember, a community wizard data bank can literally be a bunch of files on your kitchen table. So we're trying to build the checklist so that people all over America can do this. Two things. On Friday, and you can find this on our website at www.magicandmoney.com, Jan Ballard has arranged an opportunity for me to meet with open source software developers to see if we can't facilitate Silicon Valley and this area jumping the curve on the local economy by building these kinds of software tools. We also have a workshop on the 6th where I'm going to go into much more detail about how one might, and you know, get a group of people together in a neighborhood and approach that. We also have an online volunteer forum that's building those checklists, which you can access through my website at www.solari.com.
And the afternoon thing in Palo Alto on Friday, everyone is welcome to, and the address and details are on the website.
Any eager person in the front row. There's an extremely eager person. She wins the eagerness contest, and the man behind her wins the next most eager contest.
Hi, I'm wondering. I read the article today about it being a dollar war against the euro, and I was wondering what would happen if we created the communities around the euro instead of the dollar.
At the end of the Depression, there were 3,000 community currencies in America. And there are many wonderful resources on the internet on how to do that, but I would suggest that now is a time to revitalize community currencies, because it will keep the money flowing within your community and not flowing out to the war machine. And now we have digital gold and gold money and all sorts of wonderful tools, including debit cards, to back up a community currency. So I would encourage you, because circulating, moving to euros will finance another war machine. So what I would suggest is start to explore community currencies to build what you would like to build locally. So you can build something magical and moneyed and not support any war machine.
Yeah, and exactly. And there, a wonderful friend of mine did a study on the circulation of a dollar, and a dollar in a wealthy neighborhood will circulate 16 times before it leaves. In a poor inner-city neighborhood, a dollar circulates about 45 cents before it's gone due to liquor stores, stadiums, outside ownership of businesses. And again, it's part of it. You know, our ally Jeff Gates is an interesting radical economist, also reminded us that all of our metaphors for money are all water. Cash flow, liquidity, drowning in red ink, and even money laundering. And money laundering actually comes from Al Capone, who laundered his money through laundromats. So it is all water. And so when talking to Jeff Gates, I was like, oh, well, this is good news for mystics, actually, if we can go Neptune, dreams, vision, money, water. Okay, this is good. So how does water work in nature? You know, it's, again, that serpentine quality, and we want to slow money down through containers and communities that gather it, again, in pools. Local ownership of businesses supporting that in local currencies. But I know that there's a lot also just to reflect upon on all of our imagery for money is all water, and that I think really helps many of us to restore our intimacy with it too, going, okay, it's like water, okay, how do we, you know, in feng shui, they're onto this, you know, meaning put, you know, stick a bowl of goldfish in your wealth quarter, whatever, but the idea of water, then beginning to think about how water moves in nature and then how to become more intimate with money in that particular way. It was a revelation when I was doing a fundraiser in Sebastopol, and I was talking about how do we slow way down in order to speed up the rate of connections. All these organic farmers at the end of the evening came up to me and they said, all of your metaphors are our facts. And I said, oh, like what? And he said, well, the more you slow water down when you run it through a field, the faster it infiltrates. So then I thought, well, let's have all natural facts be social strategy metaphors. You know, the more we slow down, the more we infiltrate. You know, the more we gather in groups like this, the more we infiltrate. And if we want to defend everything we love in nature, then how to become more like nature? If you want to defend wolves, become like a wolf. If you're devoted to water, become like water. That we begin to really experiment creatively with what these strategies imply.
Let me mention one other thing. I gave a presentation to investors on an article I wrote called The Myth of the Rule of Law, explaining how the money really worked in Washington. And there was another presenter there who was making a presentation on phony baloney accounting and cookbooks. And after listening to my presentation on organized crime and money laundering by corporations, he adjusted his estimate of how much of the stock market came from not real business to 50%. Corporations are not efficient. Corporations are not efficient. That is a myth and a spell that definitely needs to be broken. Corporations are being subsidized by sucking out of the federal budget. Privatization is nothing but transferring our assets to corporations at 10 cents on the dollar and subsidizing them. And so part of the spell that needs to be broken is if we start to think creatively about, as Caroline says, keeping the water in our communities, we can build our current and new small businesses owned and controlled locally into something far more wonderful, delivering far better products and services for us than any corporation in the world.
And a friend of mine before I left also said, he said his proposal is a constitutional amendment so that humans get treated like corporations. He said, I want to amortize my house and deduct my shoes and hide half of my gains. And then he further proposed, and I think this is an excellent one actually, he said, no representation without taxation. Corporations should not be allowed to hire lobbyists or PACs unless they pay the taxes of what the average citizen pays. So I like that, no representation without taxation. And then he further said also, he said about vouchers, he said school vouchers and all. He goes, well, I want an army voucher. I'm not happy with this army. I want an army that fights for peace. So can I have an army voucher, please? So we go, yeah.
I have a couple of questions. First of all is, can you put a name and address and phone number to Mr. Global? And also, can you tell us a little more about how we as a community can withdraw from the system?
It's hard to put a name and address to Mr. Global without a much longer conversation, but Mr. Global represents the private equity investors behind the central banking system. Our economic model, and it's two sides of a coin. On one side of the coin is warfare, and on the other side of the coin is central banking. And if you look at who the investors are who profit and control central banking and the central bank of the central bank, the Bank of International Settlements, and you understand the flows of money. Now, I will tell you the two best sources of information on who is Mr. Global are John Rappaport, who's written several books and has a wonderful subscription interview service, and Linda Miner, who is published in San Francisco on Newsmaking News, has a wonderful series called Follow the Yellow Brick Road from Enron to Harvard, which discusses the intergenerational pools of capital and the cartels that manage this sort of central bank and warfare network.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that we've moved from away from the why business to the how business, and that you are really way inside the how business for folks, and I really appreciate that. One of the things I was observing while you were speaking with folks here was that it had to do with disseminating complex information quickly and how many times it takes for someone to revisit information before the redundancy begins to take hold and they begin to themselves develop a language, you know, for that. And I just really want to encourage people, if there are gaps in the flow of your understanding, just come back to it. And also the reading of the websites and as much reading as you can is really the key to it, so that when you come back to this, then you'll have redundant information already in your head and you won't have to fill in so many gaps. Also, it was really great to see how many people with similar business going on were networking. Now, my question actually is related to how a community can actually, it's more specific on how. What happens when we get effective and with the apparatus of the state now, if people become too effective, will people become targets? You know, and that's the question, and I'm really worried about that because what's really important is that a lot of people, they won't, if there's 200,000 people that are doing it, you know, if you're on the street, they won't shoot you. But if there's three people, well, you know, I'm just saying it's less likely. The whole point is that they won't come after 200,000 people and put them all in jail. But they will go after leaders because many people who are the leaders of this movement will become a national security threat. And I was wondering, what have you anticipated about that? I mean, that overcoming the fear of being targeted.
Well, I've lived it. I have a friend who introduces me at conferences and says, who here has seen the movie of Enemy of the State? This woman played Will Smith in real life. So, and I do not recommend living the Enemy of the State saga, although clearly you can live through it and prosper. I think it is very important if a community begins to map out and understand the money, that you involve as many of the current institutions and organizations that exist and have a very open process, whether it's the civic organizations, local officials. You will find in every town, city, and county local officials who've been desperately trying to interest their neighbors in how the money works, and nobody cares. So, and you can involve the churches and the temples and the spiritual organizations. So there is a process to do it where it's many, many of you. I mean, one of the reasons that the letter in Tennessee that challenged the Republican candidate destined to win, I mean, a shoo-in to win, it was not accidental that I chose the women's Bible class of a Southern Baptist Convention church. Yeah. It's pretty safe. So we need to be clever, but first and foremost, we need to understand that we have to find a way to do this that's causing our popsicle index to go up now. So no one should do anything that's not safe. And a lot of conversation needs to be attended to about how we do this together and how we're safe. But spread the idea to every neighborhood in America. Because if 73,000 communities, I told Caroline, I said, can you imagine, we were talking about a million peace marchers coming out in February. I said, can you imagine if all million peace marchers and everybody at the next World Trade Organization came out and said, let us help you reverse the negative return on investment to a positive return on investment, and Mr. Global, we will make more money for you than the Bushes. Can you imagine the change in the politics? Because, in fact, it's true. Hardworking, decent, honorable people can make, as Caroline would say, sane, reverent people can make more money than the Bushes. So there is an opportunity. But let's do this one together. No one is as smart as all of us.
And I think everything you said is incredibly crucial, also about going back to the material, because in working with Catherine ongoing, when she'll lay out, you know, HUD fraud and how it works in terms of mortgages, I go, I need a protein break. I'm going to come back. And that is true. And then coming back and back to the material, going, oh, because it is familiar to some, exotic to others, going, whoa, okay. And that is crucial, that return. And the safety issue, I think, too, is that this, in fact, we're giving voice to something that is huge. And the best thing that people also say to me on the radio is that you're giving voice to what I'm thinking. That, again, we're throwing out also, there is no star model, there is no one leader model. It's everybody's, you know, maximally cultivated uniqueness. And it is an extended, irresistible invitation. You know, come, we need the awakened imagination of everyone, right-wing golfers, inner-city youth, you know, the whole deal. I mean, to pull this thing off. And so there is no star, there is no glamour deal, there is no one leader, it's everywhere. And in that there's enormous safety. And plus also prayer. I mean, again, the indigenous soul, I had the great satisfaction or honor of being in Ralph Abernathy's Black Baptist Church with Dick Gregory and 100 other people fasting over New Year's in 76, and all the great civil rights leaders came to speak to us, and they told us the stories about the spiritual power of fasting. And one in particular, in the Memphis hospital strike, they said we were fasting, and a friend of ours who was not fasting came to visit with us in the tent, and a man burst in and shot us all. And they said that those of us who were fasting, we looked down and the bullets fell out of our bodies and we were okay. And the man who hadn't been fasting was injured and taken to the hospital. So strong, we're talking about real spiritual juju as well, that there is real power to this. And that, thank goodness, we as humans don't have to do this alone. You know, we'd say that one definition of what it is to be human is discern the pattern of evolutionary intelligence, the liveliest, most creative possibilities available at any moment, offer oneself to that. You know, and summon in the juju. I mean, forming alliances between the invisible and the visible, between each other, between communities, but community in the largest definition possible, not just human, everything. And so it really is this huge evolutionary imaginative leap, you know, or not, or nothing. But yes. One more in front.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Oh. Okay, a lot of energy back there. All right, sorry you didn't read on, you didn't rate on the energy meter.
Can we do two? Let's do two.
Okay, we'll do two.
Go ahead, Joe.
I've always wanted to know this, and maybe you could actually address this. The $1.5 trillion that gets collected for federal tax, can you outline what happens to that money, where it goes? I have no clue, and I've never heard anyone address it. So, I mean,
I've spent 12 years and am considered one of the leading experts on federal budget and federal credit. And what I have to tell you is a lot of it's disappearing down a black hole. If you go to the White House website, you can get a federal budget and you can get a simple summary of the official reality. But my honest opinion is, until 73,000 neighborhoods conform that information to how the money works in their place, we will not know the truth, let alone stop the drain in the bottom of the bucket. In theory, it goes into the New York Fed members as bank depositories. Now, they allocate depositories around the country. But it goes into a bank account, in theory, and then it is used to meet some expenditures, but is then used to leverage in both the Treasury borrowings and borrowings throughout programs in the federal government to create a much greater and larger cash flow. The resources of the federal government, our tax money, is only the beginning of all the money that's there to play with.
I have one question about something I can do today and also what friends of mine are facing about the banking industry and not wanting to support it but having to live in the real world. I have a few friends and myself included that are all looking to purchase homes and going through the traditional way of borrowing the money. And one of the things that's come up for me is I have been introduced to the theory of, instead of investing my money and taking the risk, why not take the system and have the system take the risk and have mortgage brokers and negotiate the deals a little bit differently is what I'm being introduced to. And I'm hearing that that ultimately will free up my money and not support some of the system as much as I have to be in the system to buy real estate for a home and for investments in my local community. Mm-hmm. Any comments on that from it's not worth it, this is one of the times you need to stay in your system, or to use mortgage bankers and leverage there?
It's a very good question, but you're asking me about 100 questions at once. The challenge of working in the system in any way is that you are borrowing your own savings and bank deposits back at a huge increased cost. In other words, Mr. Global is getting a huge markup on you one way or another in a rigged system. If you take a look at the different pieces on Solari and the rise of the rule of law, if you have command of how the money works in your place, if you have that data bank or financial literacy, you can start to create pools of money, both community currency and pools of capital, where you borrow your own money from yourselves. And it's all part of slowing the water down and getting it to gather and go deeper in your place. Now, that at this moment, it's very hard for you to go out and do a mortgage tomorrow or buy a home with one of those pools. That takes a lot of collaboration here. Ultimately, the only way our own financial arrangements will be sound and our security will be sound is if we are dependent on each other as opposed to on the war machine, because the war machine does not wish us well. So to give you a more detailed answer would take hours of scheming about your particular situation. Mm-hmm. So take a look at the material and see if it's helpful.
But the general point is that there's work to be done together with the churches and the city council and all the people in our communities first before we're going to reverse. I want to check the pulse. We've got a few more sort of burning questions. We're not going to be able to answer all of them. I'm wondering if we could negotiate 10 more minutes. It's 10 o'clock right now. We said we'd be done at 10 o'clock. I don't know. How does that feel to you two? 10 more minutes?
Or is this fine with very time? Okay. Sure.
We've got more questions than we're going to be able to cover in that time. Okay. But there are a couple people who've had their hands up
a lot. A lot of energy over there.
Okay, there's a gentleman right here who has had his hand up a long time, who was talking with Catherine at the break. So if we could please be quick with our questions.
Yeah, I was in Panama in the 60s. I was in the military down there, and the CIA was shipping tons of cocaine and heroin up to America. You said in the report that the CIA admitted to selling drugs, which is true, believe me, to our children. And you said your website, but could you tell me the document where the CIA admitted that they're selling drugs to our people, which is true?
Yes. In the summer of 1996, Gary Webb published Dark Alliance story in San Jose Mercury News documenting narcotics trafficking by CIA and government assets. The same exact time, I published a map of HUD defaults in South Central LA on the internet, produced by Community Wizard, that showed, as I don't know if anybody's seen the latest series on Tony Soprano and HUD fraud. Tony Soprano now has a big HUD fraud business. The CIA, it appears to be laundering the Dark Alliance profits through HUD contrived faults with Tony Soprano kind of characters. Because you can take poor people down for $1 and then take rich people down for another $2, all sort of in one thing. There was a very famous confrontation at Locke High School in 1996. Crack the CIA cocaine online video, winner at the Sundance Film Festival, done by Guerrilla News Network in San Francisco. You can link to it from my website, but you can go to Guerrilla News Network and see a wonderful 10-minute online video that will explain the whole thing. What came out of that confrontation is the CIA agreed to do an Inspector General report, and they published Volume 1 and Volume 2 of the Inspector General report that admitted, yes, you know, essentially it was true, and that the Department of Justice and the CIA had entered into a memorandum of understanding that made it possible for CIA assets to deal drugs and the CIA not have to report it to the Department of Justice. Get out of jail free card. If you go to my website and read the summary of my case, you can link to the GNN, you can link to the stories on Volume 1 and Volume 2 of the CIA report, which will then link you over to the CIA website, and they are available online. Okay?
One real quick question. First, I wanted to commend you both for the courage to share all this information. And this one is for Carolyn. As an astrologer, you mentioned Saturn's ingress into Cancer in June. What about with the housing market? Will that give us all a chance to finally buy houses at a lower price, or what do you think?
It's an interesting... I think we're all working on this one together. It's like what I told the Mr. Pension guy, who got increasingly interested, going, really, and can you figure out astrologically how to invest the pension better? I go, well, I'll get back to you on that. And I said, on one footnote, too, this last Mercury retrograde of the last 3 weeks up until the 22nd, one of the things that's sort of a relief is that any of the candidates who declared during the Mercury retrograde, we can just forget about them. Gephardt, Lieberman, Sharpton, and somebody else, John Edwards, goodbye, never mind. But also, every 20 years, Saturn and Jupiter come together. The last time was 2000, and the idea is that it's a kind of instruction or invitation for an opportunity for the culture to redefine wealth. And Saturn and Jupiter came together in Taurus in the spring of 2000. So I, not knowing about money really, and admittedly so, but just astrology going, well, what's the implication then? If Saturn and Jupiter are coming together in Taurus, which is land and what's real and the mango and the tangible. And I said, I guess that's it for the dot-com guys. And then in the fall when it all went down, I was like, damn, this stuff works. It's amazing. But there is a real issue that maybe Catherine can address too about, the inflated housing market, that the prices are topped out. Where they're really extreme, and there's going to be, again, a reality hits illusion kind of quality, which may make it easier, but I'm not sure. I mean, it is an interesting question that I'd actually like to ask to Catherine, too, about what is going to happen with all the overpriced houses when reality kicks in, and what is that, increased foreclosures, and what does that mean? And what does that mean about this person who wants to buy a house in June?
The hard part of predicting the market, we have reached... One, Sanders Research calls it sort of Prozac stock market. We have reached a point where all the markets are so manipulated with, and a lot of this high-powered digital technology has given us the ability to manipulate markets in ways we've never dreamed of. I mean, the Fed and the Japanese have admitted to intervention in holding the stock market up. So we have a huge bubble the bubble is being kept up with warfare and coercion. I never believed that these guys could keep it going on this long. It is very hard to predict what will happen because it's so controlled and it's so political. What I do is I always have in my back pocket sort of my vision of the worst case scenario, and I like to have a plan that works in the worst case and the best case. Now let me explain what the worst case could look like. In 1989, I was Assistant Secretary of Housing, and my job both at HUD and in coordination with the RTC was to help in the largest property disposition operation in the history of civilization. We had a town in New Mexico where the federal government owned and controlled 70% of the mortgages which were in default in that town. What you had was a situation where you needed not to resolve defaulted mortgages, you needed to reinvent the local economy. And that's what we're facing, because what has been happening as we turn over more and more business and we purchase corporate things and we watch corporate media is they've been taking our money and then using our capital to move all our jobs abroad. So every community in America is going to be faced with this when and if the bubble bursts. We're going to be faced with it slowly if the bubble doesn't burst. I mean, for the last 12 quarters, the average American, according to Bureau of Economic Statistics, has an income of $32,000 and overhead and expenses of $37,000. And they are financing that gap by selling assets or borrowing money. And every year, that gap is exactly what gets transferred through government to corporations. As we have that deficit, corporations have that surplus. And so that game continues, and that's why we need to reinvent the local economies and back the war machine and corporations that are not efficient and effective out of our minds and out of our pocketbooks.
We only have time for two more.
Wait, okay. You got it. Wait, this guy over here has been here forever, really.
Next. Okay.
Okay, we'll do her, then you.
I just want to say that I really, really appreciate the water, money as water analogy, because the water on our planet's been so polluted, the water in our bodies has been polluted, and also to me water is the feminine, and it's been controlled and polluted by the patriarchy, so to reclaim that energy as a feminine energy and as a, you know, it's very empowering to think of water that way, or money that way as water. I appreciate that a lot. And also, I just want to tell people that I think the best organization in America doing community currency, community empowerment is E.F. Schumacher Society in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. So if you're interested in this and real solutions, real grass earths, they've been doing it for years. I think they have a website now. I mean, for years they were not even on the web. And then the question I have is, I think everyone in this room who's familiar with Dennis Kucinich, I always say his name wrong.
Kucinich
is very, very highly inspired by what he said and written. And I was amazed to hear you say he might be running for president.
Well, we're drafting him.
But I'm very concerned about his anti-choice. That he's anti-choice.
Well,
and it seems like people don't know that, so I'd like you to address that.
A lot of people do know that. I think what it comes down to, actually, he's against government funding of abortions after 6 months. And I guess my feeling was, you know, given the whole deal, I can live with that. I mean, you know, it's like we don't, you know, would you really say somebody who's in favor of peace, who's actually uncorruptible, is unviable, who comes from a district with 40 different ethnicities and gets along with them, who is completely unviable by corporations, and you go, because he doesn't meet this, I won't vote for him. It's an interesting issue, and a lot of progressives do bring that up. But he will defend Roe v. Wade forever. You know, he doesn't come down on that. He's Catholic, you know. He's from Cleveland. He's got, again, 40 ethnicities: the Russians, Ukrainians, American Indians, Blacks, and Whites. They all like him a lot, and that's his moral stance. So I go, I can live with it, given the corruption level everywhere else, you know. And he is, you know, I mean, he is a real human being, and you could talk to him about that. So on that issue, I think it's an important issue to discuss, but I think it's important, you know, do we want to be, would we rather be right or effective? You know, and again, that sense of tolerance and crossing borders and talking and going, you know, it's sort of like the commonality thing, the Baptist joke of, you know, a man runs into another man on a cliff and they're hiking and says, oh, how are you? Christian, yes. Baptist, yes. Southern Baptist, yes. Southern Baptist Reformed Church, yes. You know, Southern Baptist Second Reformed Council, no, die, heathen. You know, I mean, it's like you're for peace, but on this point, you know, so... You know, it's an interesting issue, but it does bring us also to what you bring up about water also too. Do you know the work of Dr. Masaru Emoto, interesting Japanese scientist, about the power, the message of water, and that's also he freezes water, takes photos of the frozen water, and says, here's spring water, beautiful crystalline structure. Here's polluted water, really ugly. Here's polluted water been prayed over, beautiful again. You know, now he doesn't know how long it retains its structure, and he does feel that this is really crucial, that you know. That soon, you know, because he does rainwater and tap water and all that, and it's losing its structure all over the world, and of course we are 80% water and so on. He wants to organize giant peace things also to pray for the rivers in the Middle East from which people derive their water to actually change the structure. But the whole quality also of prayers is crucial, and when I was asking Catherine about... you know, talking to my fairy godmother, going, but what can we do about the war now? This, you know, economic restructuring will take too long, you know, and I go, Catherine, what's going to work now? And she goes, prayers and sex. And part of that is, it's the Lysistrata thing. I mean, Catherine said, you know, only sex for people who raise the popsicle index. Otherwise, no bad guys get sex.
I worked on several Republican campaigns that the plan to turn women against men who make the popsicle index go up is very intentional, it's very clear, it's been very successful. Somebody here the other day, we were on a radio show, said something about, you know, the testosterone good while, and I said, that's a good thing. We need to unleash testosterone and estrogen to make the popsicle index go up. So it's very important that women start to think about, am I supporting the men who make the popsicle index go up, or unintentionally, am I sending a signal that the guy who gets the money, or, you know, James Bond, gets my admiration, my attention, my vote, my sex, my marriage, or whatever. If every woman in America tomorrow only flirted with, paid attention, talked to, married, slept with, if your father is making money on the popsicle index going down, tell him he's history. Do you know what I mean? And if every woman in America sent that signal and honored and treated, I mean, when I check into the baggage counter when I fly, I treat those baggage handlers like they're the cutest guys in America. Because you know something? Well, they are cute, but they're not making the popsicle index go down. So there are millions of men in this country who are wonderful. And if suddenly they believe that women got the game and were going to support them if they were honest and hardworking, and so they don't have necessarily the money, the benefit, we would unleash a huge wave of energy.
And somebody sent a note saying, I want to ask if we can all meet at the Union Coffee House downtown on Union Street on a weekly basis. Somehow we need to network. I'll ask the Union. So who is that person, and are you willing to organize this? Okay, that's you. See this woman if you want to meet on a weekly basis at the Union Coffee Shop.
I just don't want the energy to drop.
Right. Keep it cooking.